Okay, so some of the pre-tzaddiks that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks have been very, very deeply flavored with Kabbalah. This isn't the two pieces I've selected from Parshas Vayera are not that Kabbalah-centric, because the other pieces are very, very deep in Kabbalah, so I chose not to discuss them. I don't understand much of it. I don't understand all of it, if the term is necessary for Kabbalah. But the two issues I want to speak about today is the very famous first pasuk, Vayera Lav Hashem Belonim Amrei, and the very famous Rashi. Rashi says that this was a change, this was a shift in the experience of revelation, of Gilui Shechina. Beforehand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham, but Avraham didn't yet have Mila. Without Mila, you're not yet capable of encountering Hashem in the fully awake, normal manner. One of the mitzvahs that a person without Mila can't perform, there are three mitzvahs most people are aware. Let's say you don't have a bris Mila, you're a full Jew, and you can perform all the mitzvahs, and sometimes it's not even your fault. Let's say a boy in a family, his two older brothers or three older brothers died as a function of Mila. We don't proactively withhold Mila because Sakanis and Fashos. Yet if a person doesn't have Mila, they can't eat Truma if they're Kohen, they can't bring a Korban Pesach, and the final mitzvah that a lot of people aren't aware of, they're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Because without a Mila, you can't encounter Hashem. So now that Avram has Mila, his Alech Lifanai Beyetamim. Now HaKadosh Baruch says you can stand Lifanai. And Rashi says beforehand, HaKadosh Baruch spoke with Avram, but it never was his Halech, it never was Lifanai. He was always falling asleep, nighttime visitations. And of course before, and HaKadosh Baruch had spoken to man, but it never appeared to man. Hashem only appears to man with Avram. So that's the shift in Vayera, according to Rashi at least. The Free Tzaddik doesn't agree because of a Medrash. The Medrash says, according to Pasuk in Iyov, Mipsariya Chazeloka, that from my Basar, I've met Hashem, I've seen Hashem. And of course, the reference to Basar is a shout out to Mila. So the Medrash says, Ilulei Shasisi Kein, if not for Bris Mila, Avram is narrating, Meichanai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niglalai. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have appeared to me? So it sounds like with Mila, it's a more dramatic shift than just the difference between nighttime, when Avram's asleep, and when Avram's awake. It sounds like this is a whole new chapter of Revelation. Mehechan, how would I ever have been Zocha to this Gilui Shechina? And also he's uncomfortable because doesn't really say in the previous Pesukim that Avram was afraid only this time, because at this time when Hashem informs him about the Mila, then Avram gets shocked. Oh, I didn't have Mila. But until he knew about the need for Mila, he wasn't really shocked. He was in a very calm and tranquil state. At this point, when he found out that you need Mila to encounter Hashem, then all of a sudden it hits him and he's thrown for a loop because he didn't have Mila now, but during this conversation. So what's really changing? So Rashi, the Pre-Tzaddik has a very important concept, which is not based on Kabbalah, but then bleeds into very Hasidic ideas. That before Avram's Mila, Hashem appeared to Avram, but it was function-oriented, object-oriented, when he had to speak to Avram and deliver some information. We would call it content-oriented. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram. In Parshas Vayera, and then, of course, when he's finished with the content, then he departs, because it's object-oriented, it's project-oriented. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a message, he appears to Avram, conversation unfolds, the conversation's finished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu departs. At this point, two things change, and of course, related. Number one, Hashem appears to Avram without any purpose. The Malachim are purposeful. The Malachim are there to destroy Sodom. The Malachim are there to heal Avram. The Malachim are there to inform Avram. So if the purpose is already fulfilled by the Malachim, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear? Why is there this overlap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit and the Malachim's visit? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu just came to Avram. Interaction, encounter, Gilui Shechina, revelation, without content. That's a higher level of revelation. And it's not just higher, but it's also more enduring. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to deliver a message, then when the message is finished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu departs. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu just appears to appear, then it's enduring. And that's why in the final pre-Mila encounter between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham, the Torah is very deliberate about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's departure. If you look very carefully in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah writes, Vayichal ledaber ito, Vayal elukim me'al Avraham. That's in last week's Parsha, after the Mila. It's the only time it says it, even though Hashem had spoken to Avraham previously and subsequently. Because this is now the juncture, this is the intersection. Until this point, all those conversations and all those encounters were characterized by Hashem descending, speaking to Avraham, and then departing. From here on in, Hashem will no longer finish speaking with Avraham, because it's not about speech. and it will not leave. Again, Vayichal Elokim, Vayichal Daberito, Vayal Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu concluded all this conversation, and then he ascended, and then he departed. That's a signpost at the end of Lach Lecha to divide or to delineate between the previous Gilui Shechinas, which were characterized by Hashem descending for conversation and then leaving afterwards, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu just appears to Avram. And another signpost is the word Elav, Vayera Elav, even the switch from Avram to Elav. Because of the grammar, you don't need the word Avram in the second pasuk. In the first pasuk, so the word Vayera Elav Ram, Vayera Elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Elav. That creates less of a function-oriented visit and more of a generic Vayera Elav. Now, why is this so important in Chassidus? Because in Chassidus, Chassidus is trying to really create two things that are related. One is create experience of religion. It doesn't have to be oriented around content. Let's say Talmud Torah. Let's map these two models of Gilui Shechinah into our world. When you're learning Bava Basra and you're trying to translate that into your Avodas Hashem and feel as you're sitting in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that would be content-oriented experience. When I finish the Gemara, then I'm no longer, when I finish thinking about the Gemara, even when I'm closed the Gemara, I'm thinking about it, then I'm still engaged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's content. But then let's say I stop learning and I'm thinking about something else, then it, for all intents and purposes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu departs from that moment. But if I become a Dira L'Shechina, that's the name that he uses, if I become a Dira L'Shechina, that's why this Gilui Shechina happens in a home, I become a Dira L'Shechina, then even when I'm not involved in activities that are ritualistic or religious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me enduring all the time. And to a degree, that's what makes the beginning of Vayera. Again, it's domestic. There's no ritual that Avram is performing. Maximally, he's performing chesed, but he's not doing it ritualistically. And he's not even mekayim a mitzvah, so it is because he's a malachim. So they didn't have any needs. Of course, mitzvah isn't just fulfilling needs. But that's the switch of Avram, and that's the switch that the Chassidus was trying to create. Durability, non-content-oriented encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechina. That's the shift. So according to Rashi, the shift is nighttime, falling, afraid, unsteady, as opposed to awake, conscience, tranquil, encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Prit Tzadik says the shift between Lech Lecha and Vayera, pre-Mila, post-Mila, is content, object-oriented visits, as opposed to just HaKadosh Baruch Hu visiting and remaining with Avraham Avinu. And to a degree, some of that remaining Hashem leaves at a certain point, but he remains even during the Malachim's visit. And almost if Avram tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, wait for a minute, I've got some matters to attend to, and then he returns, that may not have happened before the Bris Milah. Before the Bris Milah, Hashem finishes speaking, then he departs. Maybe we'll come back again a couple of minutes later when you're ready. But in Parshas Vayera, Avram puts Hashem on hold, presses the hold button, attends to his guests, and then the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues, which demonstrates that it's not conversation hinged, conversation conditioned. It's, I'm visiting you, I have some things to say, but it's Hashem is visiting Avram. The second interesting part, again, and Chassidus really quotes Midrashim and asks why does Medrash certain times thread halachic issues into the Parsha, into the Medrash Parsha? Again, it was a trope of Chazal. Chazal knew that their Shirim and Midrashim were far more popular than the Shirim and Halacha. That was always true in history. So they said, I'm giving a Medrash here. Everyone showed up and sat in the front row. Let's learn Medrash. Then all of a sudden, they found some halachic tie-in. They started talking about halacha. And generally, there's relevance, but sometimes it's hard to see the relevance. In this week's parsha, the Medrash Tanchum, or Tanchum, would give Midrashim, and he started talking about tefillah. Now, in the beginning of the parsha. Now, tefillah is very central in the parsha, Avram's stone for his tefillah, but not necessarily in the beginning of the parsha. Again, I don't think it's the strongest, most compelling question, but the answer is interesting because it elaborates two interesting non-Hasidic points about tefillah. Number one, that tefillah wasn't a gimme. For 2,000 years, people just didn't imagine that you could daven to change Hashem's will. Hashem seemed distant. Hashem seemed omnipotent. Hashem seemed very, very independent. And why would he be affected by human will and human prayer and human request? So people just didn't daven. Adam, we don't find Adam davening. You expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays down the sentence and Adam would launch to a tefillah and ask Hashem, please commute the sentence. Cain doesn't daven. Famously or notoriously, Noach doesn't daven. So we take that as a sign of Noach's insensitivity and callousness. But he says it's just people just didn't realize. So tefillah's connected avos tiknum. Parshas Vayera is not just the emergence of tefillah. It's the revolution of consciousness. in the relationship between, these are my words, relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man, that I can change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. That doesn't just affect my tefillah. That changes how I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do I see him as Kel Mali Rachamim? Do I see him as interested in human interaction? So it's not just the tefillah changes. Again, I'm reading a lot into his words, but I think that it's relevant for Vayera, because if Vayera represents a relationship shift between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, captured by the first Gila Shechina, then part of that is, oh, Hashem is now more accessible, Hashem now visits me, Hashem now appears to me, I'm a sadech lefanavei etamim, maybe can affect as well. Now what's fascinating is that even Avram, who discovers tefillah, he doesn't daven for himself. You would think he doesn't have children, he should daven for himself. He never davens for himself. Now again, you could say that's pre-milah, and once he has the milah, and the malachim come 3 days after the milah, so he's just recovering from the milah, and once the malachim inform him he's having a child, then he has confidence, he never really has, pre-milah, he doesn't know that he can daven, because he feels like HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe he's still a little distant. Post-milah, he knows he can daven, but he already has the cat in the bag, he already knows he has a child in the oven at some point coming out. But he doesn't really daven, he davens for stone. And there's a certain part of us that makes us more comfortable davening for other people than davening for ourselves. He doesn't say why, but he feels that Avram believed that tefillah could save others, but didn't believe that tefillah could affect your own arc, your own trajectory. Is it because we feel egotistical when we daven for ourselves? And if we're honest with ourselves, like, how could I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my needs? Again, we're past this. Hashem wants us to, but man is first uncovering and discovering tefillah. How can I ask Hashem for my needs? It seems egotistical. The more egotistical, the less I have deserving of the needs. Whereas if I'm asking for someone else, then it's an experience which is laced with altruism and selflessness. So I can stand. Some people in life have a hard time serving their own needs as opposed to serving other people's needs. See, the people are so compassionate and so giving and so open that they perform chesed to the point they become self-depleting, and they can't perform chesed to themselves. So tefillah really sometimes, if you're really honest and earnest, sometimes it's easier to daven for other people. So Avram davens for Sdom, Yitzchak davens for his own children. I tell you, Yitzchak l'nachach Sdom told us, but that's a discovery. The second discovery of Parshas Vayera is that even though tefillah appears to be unsuccessful, there's always success, you just don't know it. So Avram's tefillah for Sdom appeared to be unsuccessful because 5 towns were incinerated, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives, a geological catastrophe. But Lot was saved. Lot was saved as a function of Avram's tefillah / intervention / merit. And of course, Lot has 2 sons, not exactly glorious conditions in which they're born, but one son is Moab, and Moab's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter is Rus. And Rus's great-grandson is David. And David revolutionizes tefillah. So you never know the ripple effects of your tefillah. You never really know. Here you have a tefillah whose impact is essentially delayed 1,000 years. But then it changes the world of tefillah for eternity. So it also teaches us that sometimes we're too quick to judge whether tefillahs are accepted. And of course, since we can't process 1,000 years because we don't live 1,000 years, we don't know, you never really know. But every single tefillah aggregates. Every single tefillah contributes. So we don't know what's going to happen today down south and in Tel Aviv, but keep davening. You don't know. Yesterday, those who saw the news, a rocket landed literally on the highway. Literally on the highway. About the same distance between myself and Noam. That was the distance. Then another rocket landed in a house in Sderot, right through the kitchen. Literally bore a hole right through the kitchen, landed in the kitchen table. Baruch Hashem, the family, they happened to be Dati, but for us it doesn't make a difference. They were interviewing them. They ran to the miklat, Baruch Hashem, Nisim Vinaflos. So we're suffering a barrage of rockets, but who knows? And of course, these are Masei De Hashem. These are not Masei De Adam. Hashem sends us the Shluchim, but the rockets made it through. Right? These are not rockets that were intercepted by iron domes. These rockets made it through. 3 inches this way, a bus would have been incinerated, and whoever was on the bus would have been Chas Hashem. A minute later, or 3 meters over in the rocket. So who knows? Who knows who's davening? Or how many people's tefillos yesterday in the morning affected the fact that today 50 people, Baruch Hashem, were spared. And Baruch Hashem, we didn't really suffer any long-term serious casualties or impact yesterday. So tefillah helps. And, well, my tefillah didn't help. They're still attacking us with rockets. It helps. It's just, you don't always know how and where, and sometimes it doesn't happen in your lifetime. Those are the two messages of tefillah that Medrash wants to accentuate. Number one, that it's a discovery. It's a discovery which is simultaneous to the changing relationship between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a discovery of Avram. Slowly but surely, doesn't yet discover he can daven for himself, but he's comfortable davening for Stelm. And quite frankly, Avimelech, the quote of Avimelech, when Parshas Vayir davens for Avimelech, that's what we learn. Kol Mispalach Chavero, Nen Tchila. And second of all, that tfilos have impact. You don't always see them, and they're not always immediate. Okay, so not so much chassidus there, but very interesting concepts about tfilah and about Gilui Shechina in an enduring, non-content-oriented fashion. Hashem, we should have good news today. We should have good news.